From April 14, be transported to new realms of the imagination at the Campbelltown Arts Centre. Their latest exhibition, Sheer Fantasy, will explore how we look at landscapes and how it shifts and bends to indulge our greatest fantasies. Joining us now is Western Sydney artist and Sheer Fantasy curator, David Capra. Good morning, David.
Hello, good morning.
How are you going?
Good, I'm well. It's been a big day of install, first day of install today, actually.
Yeah. How's it all going? What's the site looking?
It's exciting. Mark Shorter, who also is known as Rennie Codgers, his truck cabin has arrived, and it was quite beautiful. It was like a little gift wrapped up. It has little light reflectors on it too. It's actually because Mark drove the truck all the way from Melbourne to Sydney just yesterday, and it was quite an epic journey, and it was quite a exciting thing. But I haven't yet seen the reveal. I haven't seen what the truck looks like, so I'm looking forward to that later today.
Well, I think I can hear the truck in the background, so it sounds very exciting.
It might or may not be the same truck.
But Sheer Fantasy, what is Sheer Fantasy to you?
That's a really good question, and I don't really know how to answer it. I know that a starting point for me was seeing footage of Big Bird. Big Bird was sung It's Not Easy Being Green at the Jim Henson funeral, who created the Muppets.
Mm.
And it was a moving thing, actually. I just stumbled upon the footage, and it got me thinking, oh, what happens when the real world meets the fantasy world, and the real world has to negotiate that space. And so Sheer Fantasy for me is many things, but it's kind of, for me, it's something that really kind of tickles my imagination, makes me think a lot.
Mm. I mean, what is it about that kind of fantastical element that you wanted to explore? Because I feel like in this digital world that we live in now, we are constantly kind of like, you know, walking into it.
I think it's interesting looking at the scaffolding that we set up to support all our fantasies. I think going from, like, the show does really look at childhood and references that were familiar to my childhood. So William Wegman, who I discovered watching Sesame Street, is in the show, and I actually met with William Wegman in his Chelsea studio in New York a few months ago, and he is known for his work with dogs. He works with this incredible breed called the Wemurania. I always get, I still have not yet been able to pronounce it correctly.
Wemurania.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so they're a big grey breed and blue-eyed, and it was a magical experience to be in his studio and to be shown how they balance on their plinth, which they're famous for. It's Flo and Topper is his brand new brother and sister team. And they were fresh from this shoot with Vogue France. When they met me, they were very excitable and really quite incredible beasts. They, as soon as I walked in, they were barking and they were pressing their snouts into my belly, and they were so playful.
Mm.
So that for me was like, that was, although research for the exhibition, it was kind of all part of it for me. Like, you know, it was a fantasy. William Wegman's practice is a fantasy for me, but to actually go and experience it firsthand was like penetrating that fourth wall.
Yeah, I mean, because in your own work, you kind of incorporate your gorgeous little Dash and Tina a lot. How was that kind of like? Did you see some similarities there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really interested in working with audiences that aren't too familiar with the art world. So me and Tina have been on, like, the Today Show with Carl Stefanovic and Lisa Wilkinson, and we're promoting our Wet Dog perfume and putting ourselves in situations that aren't entirely comfortable. And I felt like that really sat nicely along the show Sheer Fantasy. We're working with the UFO and Paranormal Research Society of Australia, who have been meeting at Campbelltown since the year 2000, actually. And they're a really interesting group. Lorraine, who is the president of the organisation, she has a counselling service that is specifically set up to support people that have experienced post-traumatic stress from alien abduction.
Oh, wow.
And experience the paranormal. And so I was really interested in... So we've kind of just offered a space to them to use as an office, because I think that it's really interesting to see what goes behind the scenes of something that could be viewed as fantastical, like aliens, but the actual, I guess, the... again, the scaffolding set up to support these things in society is really interesting to me.
Mm. Now, in this exhibition, you're kind of looking through a lot of landscapes and backdrops. What do you want visitors feel when they kind of enter these worlds?
Well, I've been working very closely with Ivan Rule, who has just newly developed 1000 BCE, which is an architectural firm based in New York. Ivan originally came from Redfern and then moved to America to study architecture at Harvard, which is quite incredible. Mm. Just finished, and he's this is one of his first major projects. And he's made these flats that kind of resemble, they stand up, they resemble film sets, but they also resemble these kind of ancient, they've got this ancient quality. Ivan's just recently been to Greece and to Rome, and so that quality of the theatrical comes through, and he's made a beautiful little set for a particular work by Kim Novak. Now, Kim Novak, again, talking about penetrating that fourth wall, Kim Novak was in one of my most favourite films, Vertigo, the 1958 film by Alfred Hitchcock.
Mm.
And Kim left Hollywood to paint because I think she found Hollywood a little bit overbearing and is a really interesting person. So I've been emailing her, who's now in her mid-80s, and we're getting one of her works coming to Campbelltown.
Wow.
Depicting herself in the film with James Stewart and Alfred Hitchcock, the director. And so Ivan from 100 BCE has made this beautiful little set that's kind of like a sweet little homage to a scene in Vertigo where her character Madeline would go almost daily and see this painting of Carlotta, this fictional historical figure that's woven in the narrative of the film.
Yeah,
and so,
that's incredible. aside from Kim, you've got heaps of international artists involved in the exhibition. How did you kind of all approach them, and where do they all come from?
They all have their little story attached to them. Like, for instance, Terry Bowden works at Creative Growth in Oakland, California. And Creative Growth is like one of the leading support studios. So they work with artists that identify with disabilities. And I encountered Terry while I was, I think I was there for over 4 days. About a few years ago, and Terry really captured my attention because she was making this incredible series of Fred Flintstone with long blonde peroxide blonde hair, and she would go through this routine where when it came to time to get on the bus at the end of the day, out would come this large cutout of Fred Flintstone with the blonde hair covered in clear contact, and it would accompany her on the way home on the bus, having its own seat, and so we've been talking with Creative Growth, and Terry has developed a design with the Art Centre of a wallpaper frieze that almost feels like it's part of a nursery in a baby's bedroom, but it's a little bit menacing, and also. Dodd along is some various kind of drawings of Michael Jackson as well as Fred. So that came from that experience of working at Creative Growth.
You also have Colombian-born Javier Lara Gomez.
Yes.
Has a very interesting backstory. He was actually imprisoned at Long Bay Correctional Centre.
Yeah, not anymore. He actually, sadly, was murdered in 1997. At Goulburn Prison, but he was at Long Bay during the mid-90s for a couple of years, and what he would do is gather things like strawberry punnets or unused electronics and clippings from like Sanity magazine catalogs, and And he would gather them all and he would cut them out because he wasn't allowed to bring knives back into the cell. So he would do that all before before it was time to kind of retreat to bed. And throughout the evening, he would glue these all together. And they're quite extraordinary. Now, they've been sitting at Casula Powerhouse Art Centre for almost 10 years, I believe. Wow. And I just, I would come and I would look at them because I used to work as an educator there and I would see them quite regularly. And I thought, people need to see these. So we've got quite a large collection of Javier's work, about 11 works in total.
Wow.
And they're all lit. So he actually built lights inside them, and we've had to get an electrician to look at them because these are wired in the 90s, and I don't know if they're quite they pass the little tag testing that the council like to do nowadays.
Wow, I can't help but feel that he would not be able to get away with that in a jail. In this time and age now.
I think you're right. I think that would certainly not be something that you could do today.
Yeah. No. Another artist you have is Raquel Caballero, who has a bit of a more, going to a more hellish scene of fantasy.
That's right. So Raquel, I saw her work at First Draft, I think it was last year, and it was this extraordinary quilt that celebrated Joan Collins, the Hollywood actress, and Joan is kind of spread out in her bed and she's got these chocolates and she's got croissants and she's got her Oscar because she famously accepted her Oscar from bed. But now she's turned her attention to heaven and hell, and it's quite an epic quilt she's been making for the past couple of months. And it features everyone from O.J. Simpson to Robin Williams to Carrie Fisher and her mother, Debbie Reynolds. So, Raquel is actually going to be hosting a film at the Golden Age Cinema at Surrey Hills, and I believe it's going to be Postcards from the Edge, and that is written by Carrie Fisher based on her relationship with Debbie Reynolds, but actually starring Shirley MacLaine and Meryl Streep. So, Raquel, I can't wait to see it. I've just been getting photographs sent to me, little texts of updates, and they look so amazing. I can't wait to see it all pieced together.
Now that you kind of described more of their works, and you mentioned before this whole breaking of the fourth wall, what is it about breaking of the fourth wall that you don't really see it too much? And
I think it's uncomfortable because once you break that wall, where do you go from? From there, like, you know, the fantasies almost kind of fantasies in are private, and they're spaces that you've set up to, I guess, maybe deal with the world, and they kind of nurture you. But when they're torn down or when they're questioned or loosened apart, you're kind of left feeling vulnerable. And I think that's what this show ultimately has been about for me.
Yeah. Now, finally, you mentioned before that you just received Mark Shorter's big piece.
Yeah.
But he's also going to be performing in his alter ego, Rennie Codgers?
Yes, that's right. So Rennie Codgers is a Kenny Rogers impersonator who Mark has been performing as for a few years now. And in this work is inspired by Monument Valley. So Monument Valley was the backdrop to a lot of old westerns shot by John Huston, like Stagecoach and The Searchers. It has this incredible history. And so Marcus is setting up his cabin truck, and you can sit with Rennie in 20-minute intervals, and you can contemplate the road and it's like going on a road trip, like a 70s road trip. And Rennie is actually going to be hosting Easy Rider, Dennis Hopper's classic film from 1969, also at Golden Age.
Amazing. So much happening around this exhibition. But David, thank you so much for joining us here on 2SER. Can't wait to see it all unfold.
Beauty. Thank you.